The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on February 10th, 2013, in Austin, Texas, USA.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jathaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Zajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. So, when Prabhupada came, he introduced a whole new culture to us. We didn't know anything about Guru, Parampara, or any of these things. We didn't know the importance of Guru. Of course, we had heard about Gurus. But we didn't actually know what is the real meaning of spiritual master. What is the real meaning of initiation? Prabhupada explains, actually, this, the spiritual master, he is the father. And the Vedas, they are mother. Our first birth we get from our mother and father. But if one is not twice born by being initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, they are considered still an animal. Because the animals get their mother and father. The dog has a mother and father dog. The cat has a mother and father cat, you see. In every species they have mother and father, at least in the animal kingdom. So if there's no initiation or second birth, one is considered animal. Initiation means that one actually reconnects with his eternal identity. Prabhupada explained this to us in Los Angeles very nicely back in 1974. He emphasized the importance of this day of initiation. He said, deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. Adau Gurashvayam. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins immediately. Immediately. And if you continue the advice and instructions of the spiritual master or the Shastra, then you become deathless, no more death. So this initiation ceremony actually means entering into deathlessness, immortality. In Sanskrit, it's amrit. Amrit is death, and amrit means no death. If one takes this initiation vow very seriously, then from the very day of initiation, one's eternal identity as a spiritual being in the service of the Lord has begun, you see. We've gone through millions of identities in this material world and millions of lifetimes. And in each and every situation, we were not satisfied. We were bewildered. We were trying to enjoy our material senses. And how much pleasure is there in the material senses? It's only limited. And it's all taken away at death. We spend our whole lifetime serving these senses, trying to get pleasure through them. But at the end, we're left without any pleasure in a very painful condition at the time of death. So, taking the pathway of self-realization, the pathway of Krishna Bhakti, liberates us from so much anxiety. It actually liberates us from all anxieties. And this initiation ceremony marks the vow to follow this pathway strictly for the life. One makes the commitment, for my whole life, I will follow this process of Krishna consciousness without deviation. That's what it means to sit in the initiation ceremony. It means one is vowing to give his life in Krishna service, to undeviatingly follow the instructions of the spiritual master who represents Krishna. So, it's a very joyful experience. I remember when I got initiated, it's such a wonderful thing, so wonderful thing. And now I'm no longer a citizen of this material world. I've been granted citizenship in the spiritual world, you see. I've gotten my passport to Goloka, you see. I'm now a citizen. I've been a naturalized citizen of the spiritual world. Ki jai. So it's very nice. The initiation is very, very nice. So the word initiation means beginning. It doesn't mean your business is finished. It's like when you enroll in the university, now you're registered, you see. It doesn't mean now you're a degree. It means now you're registered. So you have to do your duty. As a disciple, you have to follow your spiritual master's instructions. And who is the spiritual master? Prabhupada says, we have one, in a letter he wrote to us here in Austin, actually, he says you have one spiritual master, and that is the person who initiates you. A letter to Sri Galim, here in Austin, Prabhupada wrote, just like you only have one father, you have one spiritual master, and that's the one who initiates you. Others who help, who assist you, preach to you the same thing your spiritual master is saying to you, they are called siksha gurus, or instructing gurus. They assist your diksha guru in delivering your business material world. But the diksha guru is the one who's taking your karma, not the siksha guru, you see. So actually there's only one spiritual master, Prabhupada says, and that's the one who initiates you. So it's a very solemn, very important, very serious thing. And now I'm committed eternally. You see, marriage is one lifetime only, you see. But still, we think over 100 times before we get married, isn't it? But initiation is for all of eternity. So one must think it over at least 1,000 times, you see. It's a very serious thing. And our disciplic succession is coming down from Lord Brahma to Narad Muni to Vyasadeva, down to Prabhupada. When Prabhupada was here, we all got initiated by him. That was we all became his disciples. But then he told us, then he deputed that after he leaves, that the disciples now should initiate him. So in ISKCON, we have about 60, somewhere around 62, 68, something like that, initiating spiritual masters. So you can, in ISKCON, you can choose. These initiates have chosen me, and free, but no coercion. They're free to have any guru they want in our society. But they wanted me as their spiritual master. So I'm taking this as my... Prabhupada sent them to me to connect them with him and with all the previous acharyas. So, Prabhupada always wanted that the 10 offenses against the holy name should be discussed at the initiation. Why? Because is chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles sufficient for going back to Godhead? No. Prabhupada said you have to chant without offense. So, along with chanting 16 rounds and following the four little principles, you have to perfect your chanting. And the way to perfect it is simply to avoid these offenses. If you conscientiously avoid these offenses, then gradually, right now we're in the Namaparad stage, Prabhupada says. Our chanting is offensive at this present stage. He said that, our chanting is Namaparad. But gradually, as we chant, then we gradually go to the clearing stage, Namabhas, and then we go to Shudanam, the pure chanting, the fenceless stage. It's a gradual transformation. So you get to that Shudanam by avoiding these 10 offenses. So it's very important to know these offenses, be aware of them, and consciously avoid them, not only when you're chanting, but all the time. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. We have to be very careful, you see, not to be critical of devotees. Even we may have a difference of opinion with a devotee, doesn't mean we should criticize them and say that they're not bona fide devotees. That will kill our ability to make spiritual progress. Number two, to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. In India, it's very common to say, well, you know, all the gods are the same. Sometimes they even criticize that ISKCON is Christianizing Hinduism. Hinduism is pluralistic, they say. There are many gods. And ISKCON is like born-again Christian Hindus who say only Krishna. But that's a very false accusation. Very false accusation. We are not... In ISKCON, we've been trained by Srila Prabhupada to simply explain what's given in the Vedic wisdom. That's so. We are simply presenting Bhagavad Gita. That's so. Bhagavad Gita clearly describes that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and those who worship demigods have lost their intelligence. It's clearly stated, chapter 7, text 20. So the demigods are subordinate servants of Krishna. The sun god, the wind god, the moon god, the goddess of knowledge, Sarasvati, Ganesh, they're all Brahmaji, Shiva, they're all devotees of Krishna. And it's confirmed directly in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Lord Shiva himself that one should surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Lord Shiva says that. So one should never think that the... all the gods are the same, and to say that Krishna is the Supreme is some kind of sectarian consciousness. No, it's just a fact. Krishna is the Supreme. There's one source. There can't be many Supremes. To say there's many Supremes is actually atheism. You see? If there's many Supremes, that means there's no one Supreme, actually. To say that they say that we're all God. So that's atheism, actually. It's simply a covered form of atheism. Everyone's God. That means there is no God, no supreme being. God means the supreme being. It's not a shared position. Number three, to disobey the order of the spiritual master. So you obey your spiritual master. You take his instructions as your life and soul. That is Prabhupada's instructions to us. Four, to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Number five, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. Just like Prabhupada explains, that if one perfectly chants Hare Krishna, then he can see Krishna. Krishna's form becomes visible to such a devotee who becomes perfect in chanting Hare Krishna. Everything is realized, the pastime of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the qualities. And just by becoming perfect and chanting Hare Krishna, then everything, the full Krishna, becomes manifest in all of his aspects. So one should never think this is some exaggeration. No, it's a fact. Experienced by those who actually achieve the Shudanam, the pure name. Six, to give some interpretation on the holy name. This is the pastime of the scholars. Well, the word Krishna means dark, and dark means ignorance, and therefore Krishna is ignorance. Don't hear about Krishna from the mundane scholars. They have no realization of Krishna. You have to hear from the realized devotees of the Lord. That's where you have to hear about Krishna. Then you will get proper knowledge. Then you get proper guidance and training. Not from these so-called scholars, but from the Vaishnavas, the Bhaktas. They can actually train you in the science of Krishna. Number seven, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord. That, well, I felt like I wanted to indulge my senses. Last night I went out and I got drunk. So this morning I'll chant some extra rounds to make up for it. No. You don't use the name as some vehicle to allow yourself to commit sinful activities. It's a very, very simple thing. Don't do the... To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities. In other words, using the name for some material purpose. Well, my kids are studying, they're going for their finals today at school, so I'm going to chant some extra rounds so they can do better on their finals. This is Namapara. Using the holy name for some material purpose. Don't do them. Just make them study. If you want to make good grades, make sure they do their study well. Don't chant rounds for your kids to make good grades. It's materialistic. It's an offense against the holy name. A 9, to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. That means we have to, doesn't mean we shouldn't preach Krishna consciousness. We've been ordered by Lord Chaitanya to preach to everybody. So it means you have to tailor fit your presentation to the audience. That's what it means. Don't tell them things you don't go to a first grade arithmetic class and tell them about calculus. You teach them 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals 4. According to the level of the audience, you present whatever in a digestible form for that particular person. Let's see. You make it digestible. Don't give them something that they're going to spit out or they're going to commit an offense, and that's your offense if you do them. So one should be, doesn't mean you shouldn't preach, I mean you should learn how to preach nicely so that you can explain things to people in such a way they go, wow, that's really cool. I never thought of that before. You see. 10, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Well, the point is we have to become attached to Krishna. That's the point. Krishna is a person. Krishna is the Supreme Person. He's just waiting to reestablish a loving relationship with you. He's waiting. He's been waiting for millions of lifetimes, watching you go through all these different forms, waiting for that day when you come to him to reconnect with him. So the point is, become attached to Krishna. And the other attachments will just fade away because they're not very attractive, really. In the material world, we find some satisfaction in these attachments. But actually, it's simply a shadow of our attachment to Krishna. It's a shadow. And we find like our near and dear one, you see, as it sometimes said. We find some satisfaction in our attachment to our near and dear ones. But that's simply we're really being attached to Krishna. We just don't realize it because they're all Krishnas in our heart. We're actually being attached to Krishna. That's the satisfaction, you see. So the real satisfaction is actually being attached to Krishna in everything. So you have to really get to the essence of the real meaning of attachment. And then the false conception of attachment, which causes so much frustration also. You become attached, and that attachment is broken, and you're bewildered. So just be attached to Krishna from the get-go, from square one, you know. Just be attached to Krishna from the very beginning. That now I have one attachment, that is Krishna. And I'll be attached to everything as it relates with Krishna. We don't deny anything. But we see everything in relationship with Krishna. In that way, we're never frustrated because Krishna is undeviatingly manifesting his loving affection towards us in all circumstances. Whether it's our job, our family relationships, our health, our bodies, which are gradually withering away by the laws of nature, whatever it may be. Don't make those things the source of your happiness, because they're only temporary. Make your source of happiness your relationship with Krishna. And then you never become morose or depressed. Just make Krishna your source of your happiness. So it's also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. We have to fix our minds on the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, so now these three-strand neck beads can be put on the new initiates. So, Bhakta Brian, how many Japa Mala rounds do you chant every day?
At least 16.
At least 16, very good. And what are the four regulated principles?
No illicit sex, no intoxication, including tea and coffee, no gambling, and no meat eating, including fish.
Very good. So, your name is? Bhaktivasala Das. Bhaktivasala means one who is very kind to the Vaishnavas. It's a name for Krishna, and it's also the name for the devotee, because Krishna is kind to the Vaishnavas, and the devotees are also kind to the Vaishnavas. Bhaktivasala Das. But you should also be Bhaktivatsal, and then you should be very kind to devotees yourself also. Not just serve the one who is kind to devotees, but you must also be very kind to devotees.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Shabha. Mataji. So, what are the four regulated principles?
No illicit sex. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication.
And how many rounds of japa will you chant every day?
At least 16 rounds.
Very good. So your name is Sulakshana Devidasi. Sulakshana means one who possesses all good qualities. So by becoming Krishna conscious, automatically you will develop all good qualities. And at the same time, by cultivating good qualities, it will help you to be more Krishna conscious. So you should work it from both ends. Become more Krishna conscious and also focus on developing good qualities, because they both, that way you, on both sides you're working. And this way you become the Sulakshana, your true Sulakshana, one possesses all good qualities.